For much of the last month or so, we've been Meitzitz min acharakim. We've been teasing out aspects of Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim in different facets of Kriyat Shema, whether it was like Yohara, whether it was Pirkei Dan, whether it was a question of an independent or a contingent mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, what was the question of Tirda de Mitzvah, whether it was a question of the Rambam versus the Ramban and the Ravid about the relationship between Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis and Shel Arvis as one mitzvah, two different mitzvos. So in a certain sense, you know, we left the lowest hanging fruit for the end in terms of establishing the Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim dimension of Kriyat Shema, in the sense that what you have in front of you is an open Mishnah. Avi meaning what? You know, we don't need to, you know, sort of ferret it out in the lumdus here, but exactly, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says beferush that he thinks that the Seder HaParshios are based on the idea that there's an intrinsic logic to Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim before Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos. Now, Levi, let's think about this a little bit for a second. At two levels. First of all, just as a matter of fact, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha spoke of Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim, what exactly did he speak of? What was he talking about? All of Kriyat Shema? Was he talking about a word? Parsha Rishon. Okay, that's very important. So he localizes it to the Parsha. Now, in theory, that could mean one of two things. That could mean either A, the entire parsha constitutes Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim, or, more minimally, good, okay, very good, okay, that it includes Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim. That's a very, very important distinction. We'll return to that. That's number one. Now, Ilan, what is the fundamental logic at work when it comes to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's analysis? Why is it, and what other sources does this relate to, that Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim should precede Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos? Yes, thank you. The Mechilta. Yes, thank you for using my special nusach. Okay, so it's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Bahag. On which issue? Exactly. Can you count a mitzvah to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam and the Ramban are in agreement that of course you can, but the Ramban says the Bahag was obviously no fool because... Exactly. So just let's restate that. Yenison?
I mean, how are you going to serve somebody if you don't even...
First you have to be... You have to concede that he indeed is the Melech, and then you can accept that he has the right to dictate norms and standards... Okay, so that was the Bahag's logic, the Ramban thinks, and not counting the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So it seems like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha subscribed to some kind of a similar idea. Now what about on the back end? Noam, what's the difference between 2 and 3? So who raised the flag on that issue? That Parshas Vayomer is really Noheg only by Yom. Who was bothered by that, David? Okay, the Rambam for sure, we saw extensively earlier, but who that you saw more recently? Who thinks that to say that you have to basically take a stand on the fundamental question of tzitzis? Yehuda? The Balei HaTosfos in two different places on our daf. What are the Balei HaTosfos concerned about? That if you think what? Just quickly going over it. But if you think, Akiva, is a chovas habeged, it's not a din in the gavra, it's a din in the beged. So then who cares whether it's Yom or Lila? What's their answer? So it could be that if it's Ksus Laila's Potter, so that means that basically we relate to the mitzvah as a daytime mitzvah. Okay, so Tosfos says that in two different ways, in two consecutive Tosfos, which you saw right here on Yadalad Amud Beis. Okay, so that's at issue. But the Balei HaTosfos, in the end of the day, feel comfortable saying, Vayom Reino Noah Gelo Bayom, David, you're absolutely correct, and we'll return to the watershed Rambam, if not by the end of today, then certainly by tomorrow, to revisit the issue that we discussed at some length in terms of the Rambam's convictions about Parshas Vayomer really transcending tzitzis as a maisa mitzvah, but what tzitzis represent, leman tizkeru vasisa miskol mitzvosai, namely zechiras kol hamitzvos. Okay, so, you know, there is a certain logic to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, but as you all saw, the central tension which animates this entire sugya is whether or not this relationship between Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim and Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos is really that simple of a one-directional relationship. Ephraim, what do I mean? Shimmy?
Could Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot be a part of Kabbalat Ol Malchus Shamayim?
Outstanding. That Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos seems not only to be an intrinsic component of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, with the Gemara at the end of what you saw refers to as Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim Shlema, but go even one step further. It's not merely that Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos seems to be an expression of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, in particular with respect to which mitzvah? Tefillin. Shila Balei HaTosfos thought that there'd be a fundamental difference between tefillin and tzitzis in terms of Avi.
Oh, being who's tzitzis.
Correct, but your name is still not Avi. We can add it in, but right, okay. Exactly right, and the basic theme of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. That's exactly the premise of Tosfos. Tosfos says in the end, okay, you know, maybe we could be Makel for Talis, it wouldn't be such an interruption, but good. But take it half a step further, Avi. It's not just that Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos is an intrinsic part of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, but that the basic conclusion of the Gemara was that not in the realm of Kriya, but in the realm of Asiya, that what? Beautiful. That Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is actually taloi on Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. So if Rav didn't have his tefillin on, what must be the case? Shlucha hu de'avis. Sounds pretty dachuk, you know. Either Rav had a pretty lousy shaliach, but the Gemara is so convinced, we'll see it inside in just a moment, the Gemara is so convinced that we can't possibly speak about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim as some abstract concept, but rather it has to be done befoal in the context of Kabbalas HaMitzvos, that it must be Shluchahu De'avis. He didn't have his coffee that morning. Doesn't sound like a very compelling answer unless you're absolutely committed to this idea in the Gemara. But that's not a new idea for us. The idea that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim has to somehow be linked to Kabbalas HaMitzvos. Ilan? Outstanding. Menachos Mem Gimel. What was the context?
That, like, it would be very impossible to say that the, you could say Shema.
Eze mitzvah shetaloi ba mitzvah acheres. V'yomer zo kriyat Shema, quoted by the Balei HaTosfos on Daf Tes Amud Beis, right? That you'd have to wait for Misha Yakir. You couldn't possibly recite the kriyat Shema be mekabel ol malchus shemayim without already being involved in mitzvos. There in Menachos, the context is tzitzis. Here in Brachos, the context is tefillin. Okay, very good. So what we're developing is the idea that on the one hand, there is a very compelling logic to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha wants to say, that of course, just like Ilan explained before, based on that mechilta, that first you have to accept God's sovereignty to relate to his mitzvos as such. You can't possibly give somebody a command unless your authority is established, as every parent says to the child, because I am the parent, right? They reinforce that. The child says, why do I have to listen? You have to reinforce the basic sense of sovereignty that exists, or we hope that it exists. We try to make sure that it exists. Me'idach gisa, but at the same time, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, as we've seen now repeatedly, can only be done, practically speaking, in the context of Kabbalas Mitzvos, the Gemara in Menachos, by Tzitzis, in terms of the time. And here, the Gemara talks about a person who says Kriyat Shema, but without their tefillin, as that being a major, major deficiency, ki ilu me'yedeidu sheker ba'atzmo, you saw, certainly not Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim Shlema. Okay, very good. One second, Anderson. Let's establish the Chinuch. The Chinuch here represents, I hope you appreciated it, a massive shita for us to contend with. So let's take a look at the chinuch, and then we'll be set up to really hit the ground running. Ben Sion, go ahead. Mitzvahs kriyash mashachris v'arvis. It's a good thing we're all sitting down. Is anybody familiar with a line anywhere in Shas, in the Bavli, in the Yerushalmi, I'll give you Medrash Halacha, which says what the Sefer Achinuch is saying? Go ahead, Shimmy.
I think he's basing off the Rambam where he said that you cannot bet. You
don't he's basing it off the Gemara. Ephraim?
This is the Uber Rabbi Yochadosh.
Okay, go ahead.
So when we were talking about the Kriyat Shema of Rabbi Yehuda and Asir, and he would just be, you know, in the Zman, which is over Panav Yadav, over Yadav Panav, so he would say Kriyat Shema. And if you take that sugi to be at Kriya, and if you say that he isn't Chozer B'Gomra, then Mashma, that really you can fulfill Mitzvah Kriyat Shema with just Midoraisa, just the first pasuk.
It's a little strange that he would present that as a norm, correct?
Very.
Okay, so what Gemara did he probably have in mind? I think you're not far off about Kriyat Shema Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but Ben Sion? What Gemara did he probably have in mind, but he took in a Ezra? Exactly. He had Rav Meir, endorsed by Rava, Halacha Kibasrai, but that was accepted by the Rambam and the Ritva and the Bali HaTosvos, but only in terms of Kavana. The Sefer Achinuch thought that line in the Gemara was saying that the only Chiyav Daraisa of Kriya. That's a different world. And he thinks that even the entire first paragraph is Mi Derabana. Now, again, so now we clearly have three Shitos. Just one second. We clearly have three Shitos on the spectrum. And then I'll ask you to think, maybe there's a Rishon that we saw that could possibly agree with this. Okay, so for sure the Rambam thinks that all three parashiyos are daraisa. Kriyas shalosh parashiyos elu al seder zeh. The seder itself is a kiyum daraisa. Okay, the Rambam thinks that. Which two Rishonim do we know of that think that parasha Rishona for sure is the only part that's daraisa? Mikey? Outstanding. And now this would be a third sheet on the spectrum that maybe only the Pasuk Rishon has a chi of kriya. Midaraisa. Can anybody think, just take a moment to think of it, it's not going to be readily obvious, you're going to have to go back in the memory bank a little bit, is there a Rishon, again it doesn't comport with all the other statements of this Rishon on the topic, okay, but is there a Rishon that we could possibly say could be read as having suggested that all three parashios are really derabanan with the exception of maybe the first pasuk? Again, you have to read it in a certain way, it's not mukhrach bichlal, but Levi? Tosfos. Which Tosfos? What's that? Okay, I think that's possibility. Another Tosfos, maybe? No, there he attacks Rashi, and right there's the other direction. That's why I say it doesn't comport there, but he uses a certain language about the Shalosh Parshios that's very provocative. Beautiful. The last Tosfos in the Perek, Yud Beis Amud Beis, where Tosfos says, but Chazal, we're mitakin, these shalosh parashios, she'asaras adibros kulos besochan. Okay? That's a big chiddush to say that that's what that Balei Tosfos really mean over there. But again, that would be one other view that could possibly comport with this shita of the chinuch. Okay. So again, the shita of the chinuch is to project that the kriya, once you get past Pasuk HaRishon, is strictly Midirabanan, and that represents an extreme pull on the question of Kriya. Noam.
It's probably already a pretty good stretch to say the Pasuk of Midirabanan. Just paragraph, like it's even more like it's even bigger stretch to say the bomb is not about one single pasuk.
You're certainly not going to get a dispute from me about that. This is an extreme shita. Yeah, listen.
Rabbi, can we say, although it's not so proper, I mean, based on what the Rambam says, that you could say the first pasuk.
Again, but that's in the case of Onasto Shena. The Rambam isn't projecting.
But I mean, what's called, not that the Rambam passes that like with a lechatchilo, but like there is some concept of that being true. The first
okay, but the Rambam says that's b'makom ones. It'd be very strange for the Sefer HaChinuch to say, "Oh, that's what if we had the Sefer HaChinuch here?" Not that we know who he is. But if he was in here, we wouldn't know it was him. But that he would say, "Oh, yeah, that's what I was referring to as Onasto Shena." Very strange.
This is why he left it out.
What's that?
This exact statement is why he left it out.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Right, they're pretty sure that it was not the Ra. That's really been established. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara. Okay, so this is the critical point. Is it possible? We started off today by noting that this is like the lowest hanging fruit because it's the most explicit reference to Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, and Levi pointed out and analyzed it very well that it was either the entire parsha or aspects of the parsha Rishona. Is it possible, at least for a moment, to think that there's a Tana that doesn't think that Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is the animating factor in Kriyat Shema? Could you consider such a possibility? Ben Sion.
We have right here, Rabbi Shimon.
Beautiful, go ahead. Okay, so it sounds initially like Rabbi Shimon Yochai is not interested in Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. Okay, this for us would be a very big problem, right? Okay, go ahead, Ben Sion. Tani Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer. Okay. So at this point it sounds, Gemara Kepshuto is saying that there are different themes that are involved, other things that are important, Lomod, Lalame, Lasos. Okay, but you don't hear the words Kabbalah Smalchus Shamayim. It in fact seems like he's explicitly not saying that it's about Kabbalah Smalchus Shamayim. So we're not the first people to ask this question. In fact, Ben Zion, who asks the question? The Gemara. You were doing a very good job. Okay, you had me fooled. Okay, so go on.
Okay.
Wait a second. So this is the Gemara's way of saying, so we're holding that by Daf Yadalad. We've convinced ourselves for the last 2 months that Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim are the three most important words in Masechta Brachos. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, a very prominent Tana, is rejecting this. And he's telling me about other things that are important, but he's not telling me about Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. So this is what I like to call the heart-stopping moment in Maseches Brachos. All of a sudden, our heart stopped, okay, for about five words, okay. V'tepuklei midu Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, six. Okay. And what's the Gemara's answer? Okay, they're calling the cardiologist. It's a code blue, okay? All right?
Oh.
Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is not a conscientious objector to Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. Baruch Hashem. Okay. But what is he saying? What is he then saying? So there are two ways, presumably, of understanding Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai say, okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Karachai heard it, it's a beautiful heyara, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, and then Vayomer's not knowing Balayla, so that's going to be in third place. I love it, but I also have a different Dvar Torah. My Dvar Torah is Lomo, the Lamed and Lasos, versus Lamed Lasos or Lasos. Or might we wish to say something perhaps a little bit more elegant about the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? Ben Zion? Okay, and that you're saying something very, 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 very important, but you're one step ahead of where we need to get to before we'll come back to that in a second. So, Shimmy?
He's describing the different parts of Omochus Shemayim.
Okay. So that the way that he chose to talk about, you know, Kabbalas Omochus Shemayim, Kabbalas, the way that he chose to formulate it was by using different kinds of terminology. That Chadava O doesn't mean in this case there are two different issues at play for Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but that if you would ask him what it means a person to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, well, what does that mean in practice? Tell me what that means. I don't know what that's too esoteric for me. That's too, you know, that's too philosophical almost. So tell me what it means a person to kabit to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai will say, okay, let me be straight with you. It means three things. What do you have to commit to doing? Lilmod, Lamed, and Lasos. Okay? And after you've done that, what exactly does it mean to be Mekabel Ol Mitzvos? What exactly is that? Brian?
Lamed
Lasos. Okay, that's to propagate it forward, that you're going to be teaching these things to your children in particular. Right? So that's part of a commitment to Mitzvos. And of course, you have to practice the mitzvahs. Okay, so that Rabbi Shimon Yochai is putting some meat on the bones of what this all means, of what Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim and Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos actually means in practice. Now, Ben Zion, here's where what you said is so valuable. Ben Zion pointing out that from the very, very beginning, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai integrated Asiya itself into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. The first paragraph already has seven asiyah. What does that sound like? What Ilan pointed out. The Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Gimel, and the continuation of the Gemara here. That you cannot possibly talk about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim without having a practical commitment to implementing this in the actual world, on planet Earth. What was Reb Chaim's definition of a lamda?
Somebody who's always learning.
Not somebody who knows how to learn. That's what Willow always likes to quote. It doesn't mean that you know how to learn, that you went to yeshiva and you heard fancy shirim and you remember a little bit of the terminology. It's not a din in the gavra, it's a din in the beged, and you can talk a little bit. What's a lambda? It means somebody who learns. What does it mean to be makabel malchus shamayim? It means to put that into practice in the very beginning. Of course you have to learn. Of course you have to teach it and transmit it. But it means that a person is living by this as well, which is exactly, if that is the correct shot, which I believe it to be, which is exactly then, Ben Sion, where the Gemara goes. So let's just, again, get to the, make sure that we see the continuation of the Gemara. So Rav, Vekara Kriya Shema Benach Tilan Vitzali, okay? Vechi Avirachi Vatanya, La Mace, okay? Hopefully you weren't digging a koch till you died. So first we have the internal issue. So the Gemara answer is no problem. We can give an okimta. If you have another person there, then you can take a break. Somebody else is going to be shomer sameis. Fine. Okay. There's still a difficulty according to Rav, right? Because it would appear initially that Rav did things in this order. That's the answer. So maybe Rav just held like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that what it meant in the real world is that first you mekabel malch shamayim, and then you put on your tefillin, then you put on your talis, whatever it is. And the Gemara strikes back with a vital line. Amar. That means that philosophically, when you process these ideas, of course, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim has to precede Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. But in the real world, did anybody ever contemplate a Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim that wasn't anchored, that wasn't concretized in actual mitzvos? At Kriya, who ever heard of such a thing? Even Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, would never have suggested that. He's just talking about the Seder Aparashios themselves. Visu. Okay, so then we think, okay, maybe it's because of the Arshir Psicha this year. The Yeshua Birchas HaTorah, the Afukei, the Mishnah in Tzarech Levarech. Okay, Kamash Malan. Okay, so it's still very great difficulty for Rab. How exactly this could have happened, that he did it without his tefillin. Shlucha hu da'avis. Just three more lines. I want to get to the end of this section of the Gemara, where the Gemara again reiterates time and time again that in practice, when you get to the realm of implementation, Kabbalas o malchus shamayim has to be done in the context of o mitzvos. Okay, Amar Ula. My name is Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, very good. So Malchus Shemayim Shlema, if you really want to be Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, so then it ought to be done, really must be done, in the context of demonstrating one's commitment to mitzvos, and in particular, the mitzvah of tefillin seems to stand above the rest, as we saw in the Bali HaTosa. So they thought, for purposes, as Avi pointed out, of smichas gula l'tfila, the dafka tefillin wouldn't be a hefsek because that's an intrinsic part of the tefila and kriyat shema relationship. Okay, very good. So that's what we call Kabbalah Smachos Shemaim Shleim. Let's just summarize and distill what we've seen so far before we take the next step in the analysis. So we pointed out that according to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, there is a very logical progression, which is highly familiar to us, as Ilan reminded us, based on the Mechelta, that Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim really must precede Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. It doesn't really make sense to relate to mitzvos without first relating to the mitzvah. Meidach Gisa, especially according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and according to the Gemara, as it flows from there, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim itself may have to be expressed in the context of actually performing the mitzvos. Data point number one, Menachos Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Re'e Mitzvah Zo, Shetaloi Ba Mitzvah Acheres, Kriyat Shema cannot be activated Bizman, Til Misha Yakir, Bein Tchela Salaban, point number one. Point number two, Kol HaKorei Kriyat Shema Belo Tfilin, Ki'ilu Meyid Eda Sheker Be'atzmo. Point number three, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim Shlema / Shlucha Hu De'Avis. Rav would have never voluntarily chosen to recite Kriyat Shema in that way. And number four, the integration of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Lilmod, Lulamed, and La'asos, even with the Parsha Rishona, the Parsha that we describe as the Parsha of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. So that's where we're holding right now. We see that there's a dialectical relationship. It goes in both directions. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim does precede Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, but to really, really be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, a person has to demonstrate already a commitment to implementation of that Ratzon Shamayim befoal with actual mitzvos, be it tefillin, be it tzitzis, be it Talmud Torah, as you saw Rav actually teaching. Anybody get up to that Shita Mekubetzes? Yeah. Okay, so Ephraim, do you want to just put that on the register for us?
Right, so,
No, the next one, right? The next one is the one that points out about Talmud Torah. Right, so again, so there you see that there's a commitment to Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim befoal through Limud HaTorah. Just like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, right, when Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim was described, it's Lilmod, Lamed, and La'asos. Okay. So Levi raised a very important issue. which is getting back to Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, what exactly was his comment about the first parasha being the parasha of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim? What was his comment? Was it the entire parasha? Or was it perhaps that Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is contained within that parasha? So I want to analyze that question, especially according to the Rambam, which is so familiar to us by now, and to see how the Rambam, I think, uniquely integrated the perspectives of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Okay. No? Go ahead. Okay, so let's just review. So that pamayim, that is the great indicator. It's not two separate mitzvos. Contra and the Ravid. Good. So it's one integrated mitzvah of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim with two daily expressions that bookend your day. Shenemar v'shach b'chov kumecha. Now, let's revisit for just a moment an exotic shita that we saw today. When the Rambam says, Umahu Kore Shlosha Parshios, is there a scintilla of evidence that he means on anything other than a De'araisa level?
No.
It's impossible, right? He's quoting Psukim. He's describing the fundamental obligation of Kriyat Shema. So this is, again, all the way on the other end of the spectrum from... Okay, very good, guys. Eluhain. Okay, now you're waiting, right? If you're familiar with the basic text that the Rambam is weaving together, you're waiting for the Rambam to say the magic words. Either Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, and something about Vayomer being only Noig Vayom. In other words, I'm a Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha man. Come over to my team. Or... that you're waiting for him to say Lilmo Lami Lasos, and then we can all know that he's a Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai man, and he can be on that team. Okay, exactly.
Right.
I like that. That would be their slogan, right? Their logo would be a cave, with a little carob tree and a stream, and you know,
laser eyes.
Probably some laser eyes also. Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, to which Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha would respond, "L'chariv olam b'yad sasa." Okay, Noam, go ahead.
Okay.
He says neither. He's on Team Rambam. Okay. Okay, so we had many, many weeks of shirim on these lines. We spoke about how this is a clear indication of a Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, that part of the way that we're Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is by noting that God is active in the world, and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not counted in the Sefer Mitzvahs as an independent mitzvah, as the Rav pointed out, because after all, it's part of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim to say that he isn't only Sibato HaRishona, but he is the... Excellent. And Me'idach, in the other direction, as I tried to add on to the Rav's general Mahalich, is that if you look carefully at the Lashon of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, it is for the sake of... Lios Lachem Leilokim. And now Noam, the Rambam concludes... I agree with Menachin's emendation there. A little bit more of a gefil on the Al Seder Zeh. Thank you. Hiha Nikres Kriyat Shema. This is the definition of Kriyat Shema. In other words, the Rambam saying to the Sefer Achinuch, speaking anachronistically, what are you talking about, Willis? Okay. So these are all clearly part of the Deraisa. Let's go back to the critical line. The Rambam interpolated both Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha into a totally different formulation. So what is he saying here, Noah? What is the Parsha Rishona?
He said,
So is that, is like, what is the Rambam exactly saying here? Shua ikar hagadol shakol taloibo. And then ayam shemo es tivoy al shar kol amitzos. That, I have to say, that line sounds like who? Yeah, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, right? It sounds like, okay, v'hayayim shemo, I'm cool with kabbalos al mitzvos. And then tzitzis, right? But it sounds also like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was like sort of saying they're kind of the same, but tiebreaker goes to Vayayim Shamoa, because Vayayim Shamoa is noig bayom valayla. So it's really the first part of this Rambam that requires the greatest attention. Because it really does seem like in paragraphs 2 and 3, he's pretty comfortable at least, with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. But it sounds a lot like, with respect to the first paragraph, he's dealing with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai type of terminology, right? He's integrating Talmud Torah very prominently, like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but I think we could do better than that. I think we could refine the point. So let's go step by step. The Rambam says there's Yichud Hashem, there's Avas Hashem, and then there's Limud HaTorah, which is, he feels the need, in all of the places where he discusses Talmud Torah, this is the only time he calls it HaIkar HaGadol Shakol Taloi Bo. Not even in Hilchos Talmud Torah, when the Rambam waxes extremely poetic, and, you know, in his own totally inimitable way about Talmud Torah, he never uses that expression once there. So this seems like a very specific kind of an expression. Ikar HaGadol Shakol Taloi Bo. We're good on time. So let's maybe try to draw on our knowledge base of the Rambam to really figure out what he thought of the first paragraph. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, what is he saying? So when the Rambam uses the expression Yichud Hashem, somebody search through their memory bank. Mitzvah Beis in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he says, beautiful. Okay, Akiva, you've done a major piece of the work. So when the Rambam says Sheish ba Yichud Hashem, what he's saying is Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. That is Mefurash in Sefer Mitzvos Aseh Beis. Excellent. Zoha Mitzvah Nikres Mitzvah Malchus. So the Rambam is clearly endorsing the view that there is Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim within the first paragraph. But here we come back to Levi. Because Levi said at the very beginning of Shir, is it that the entire Parsha is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, or that it merely contains it? So let's see maybe how the Rambam addressed himself to that question. So Sheyesh Ba Yichud Hashem means that Malchus Shamayim is therein. Contained therein. But what is this Ahavaso? Now, of course, he's referencing the Pasuk, V'ahavta Yis Hashem Elokecha v'chol v'avcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. But is the Rambam saying, oh, you know, Avas Hashem, it's such an important mitzvah, it deserves to go first? Or maybe what... I think there he's referring to Talmud Torah. Avi? Beautiful. Okay. What do we say? That Baruch Shem can be inserted, and it's not a hefsek for the Rambam because that Kabbalas Omachus Shemayim al Yedei Shevach ve'ahava. Exactly right. That Eino Dome, a person who's Mekabal Omachus Shemayim and says, okay, well, I guess this is just the objective reality of the world, that there is a Melech, so I have no choice but to serve him, versus, as we explained for the Rambam, it's the Shevach that is required, because Yaakov Avinu gave Shevach, because we are so thrilled, Ashreinu, that we have the opportunity to serve this Melech. So Avas Hashem seems to be a shi'ur in Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. And then one last piece. V'talmudo shehu ha'ikar ha'gadol shakol talaboy. Now we know that the Rambam in general, of course, is an advocate of the idea of a Talmud maybe the de masa. And all of that for sure is true. And yes, we also know equally that the Rambam is the greatest champion of the idea of Ha'ava Lefi HaYediyah. So that's true, and the Rambam establishes that in other places. But chimidu mali, that Talmud Hoshua Ikar Agadol Shakol Taloi Bo, has another meaning. So let's see if we can complete the trifecta here. So Akiva nailed the first part. Yichud Hashem really means Malchus Hashem. Avi, you nailed the second part, that Avas Hashem tells us the nature of the mitzvah Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, that we do so be'ahava, not, you know, out of a sense of begrudging acceptance, but that we're thrilled to be able to accept the yoke of heaven. We are ovdin me'ahava, to use the language of the Rambam from Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva. But what did the Rambam mean here by Talmudo, Shuikar Gadol Shekol Talebo? David, what do you think? Okay, I could not have said it better myself. The Rambam's integration of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai in this line, that the only way to think about Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim Shlema means both to learn, but not just to learn, but to learn with an eye towards being able to implement. In other words, Lilmod, Lilamed, and Lasos. David, that was perfect. So the Rambam, in the end, Levi, if we had to choose, going back to the original question, he would say both. Yes, Malchus Shamayim is contained within the paragraph, but the entire paragraph is actually a peon to Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim. You start with Malchus Shamayim itself, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then you talk about the nature of the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, is that hopefully we accept the yoke of heaven, be'ahava. And then, in the remaining passages in the paragraph, what we talk about is our commitment to actualize this, to study it, v'shinanta v'necha, then to teach it. Study it, v'shinanta v'necha, to teach it. And then, ukshartem, uksavtem, to actually implement it. In other words, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim Shlema, the expanded version of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. So, when we all get to Shamayim, we can all ask the Rambam if this is the correct shot. But it seems to me pretty clear when you integrate all of the Rambams that we've integrated. Again, Sefer Mitzvos Beis, when you've integrated his presentation of Baruch Shem, and you know the Gemara that he's working with, the Rambam basically seems to have agreed with Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Okay? Acharev ayam shemo sheish bo yisivoy al shar kol ha-mitzos, acharkach parsha sitche, shigam hi yesh bezachiris kol ha-mitzos, avu bishin vitzinoz balayla. He's using Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha language. But he felt it was essential, at least at the front end, to explain, it's not just like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, that the Parsha Rishona has Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim Tchila, but what he wanted to do was to explain what that really means in full. And for that, you need Rabbi Yeshua ben Yochai, you need Talmud Hoshua Ikar Agadol Shakol Taloi Bo, because as we said throughout this year, it's not enough in practice to say that I accept the yoke of heaven. But in reality, and in the realm of actually performing this mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, mitzvos themselves have to be integrated, which is why the Gemara said, even if we could accept on one level that Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is going to precede Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, Hainu Bekriya, but Biasiya, as Ben Sion read, Mi Yemar. Who would have said such a thing, that you could have some abstract acceptance of the yoke of heaven without a commitment to actualize it? Shlucha hu da'avis. It's only, the only possible explanation, as dachuk as it sounds in reality, that his shliach just didn't bring the tefillin, the only thing the Gemara is prepared to accept is, of course, he would have had his tefillin on him when he was mekabel ol malchus shamayim. Of course, it's inconceivable that he wouldn't. After all, kabbalas malchus shamayim shlema requires a stated and actualized commitment to implement Ritzon Shamayim. So God willing, we'll pick it up there tomorrow, is by taking a look at Kriya L'Mafreya. Obviously, if the Seder that the Rambam painstakingly describes is an intrinsic part of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, what happens when you go out of order, and what happens when you make a mistake? So we'll cover that tomorrow, and then hopefully the issue of Shmias HaKol as well.